So in setting this up today, I want to ask the question, is how's your listening? Correction, how's your communication with the person that you're married to or in a relationship with, right? How is your relationship with that? Specifically, I would even say, like, I think when we think of communication, a lot of times people think right away, most of the communication book I read, Christian ones, it's always about how do you talk. But more than how do you talk, I actually think, remember, communication is always a two-way street. Does that make sense? It's always a two-way street. It's always a two-way street. So I think listening is even as I was preparing this, I was realizing, man, we could do another hour on listening, too. Even the speech act of listening. But anyways, we'll talk more about that later, okay? So today's point is we're going to be looking at communication, but good communication begins with the foundation of listening. And listening well, okay? Today we're going to have 5 points. How many points?
Five.
Oh man, that's a lot, okay? We'll hopefully race through this in the blood, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen? Okay, so 5 points, okay? If you guys are looking at the outlines, the first point is what?
The importance of listening.
The importance of listening, okay? Secondly is, what is it?
Problem.
Yeah, okay, we're looking at problem listening. This is where you guys see this? This is where it kind of comes, right here, okay? But no, it won't be anything terrible, don't worry about it, okay? And then point number three is reasons we are quick to talk, right? Reasons we're quick to talk. Number four, reasons we're slow to listen, okay? Reasons why we're slow to listen. And point number four is how to listen well, okay? So with that introduction, I want to say that listening is the foundation of good communication, like I said earlier. I like this one quote. It's actually from Desiring God, John Piper's website. It says, listening is one of the easiest things you'll ever do, and one of the hardest. I thought that was so true, isn't it? It's one of the most easiest things you could actually do, but it's actually one of the hardest things to do, right? But that's a lot of part of Christian life, right? Some of the easiest thing, at least for me, when I counsel others, sometimes people will ask me, like, oh, how's this other brother or sister at our church doing? I know they're going through a lot of problems. And then they usually tell me, like, boy, I only wish I had their problem. And I'll say, like, why? Because it's easy to solve, because this is what's wrong, A, B, C, D, E. This is what they need to do, X, Y, Z. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. But then they don't know that the other person was also telling me, like, hey, the other person has this problem. Boy, it's so easy to solve. But that's our human nature, right? Things that's easy outside looking in, but it's sometimes the most difficult for us to actually do, okay? So in light of this, let's go through the part one, the importance of listening, okay? So we're going to say three reasons why it's important to listen, okay? Point number one, listening especially to the difficult things such as rebuke is seen as virtue. So the Bible sees listening as a virtue, especially when it comes to listening to hard things that we don't want to listen. Let's turn to Proverbs 25, verse 12. Proverbs 25, verse 12. And if I could have a happy, motivated reader, read it out loud with big boy or big girl voice. Proverbs 25, verse 12. Proverbs 25, verse 12. Chris?
25, verse 12. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear.
Yeah, okay. So here in this verse here, it shows that in the context, this is a man being rebuked, okay? By someone that is wise, that's rebuking. And when you listen to it, what is that being compared to? When someone actually listens to a rebuke, what is that being compared to? What is the analogy drawn to? What's the analogy drawn to? What's the analogy drawn to? It's like what?
An earring of gold.
Yeah. An earring of gold, right? Gold is precious, yes. Everywhere around the culture, no matter where, gold is seen as valuable, okay? And yet, as valuable as it is, it's someone that actually listens. So listening is seen as a virtue in general. But I also say, like, listening is actually required for us to fulfill the God-given role of a husband and wife. Listen. You cannot be a godly husband, and you cannot be a godly wife if you actually don't listen to your spouse, okay? In your household, if you're not listening to one another, you're doing it wrong, okay? And it's not godly, okay? First and foremost, just turn with me. This is, remember the role of a husband. Turn with me real quick to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3, 7. 1 Peter 3, 7. If I could have another happy, motivated volunteer, read me 1 Peter 3, 7. Rebecca, you want to read? Oh, no, that's too long. Rebecca, you want to read out loud? It might be a little bit long. Mom might need help.
Say it loud.
Husbands love the same
is a woman, and so her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered.
Okay, good, okay. Wow, okay, wow. Oh, that exceeded my expectation. Okay, that was okay. Good. Okay, what Rebecca read, right, is husbands are to what? What are husbands supposed to do? One of the things they're supposed to do is they are also to show honor for who? Towards their wife. Okay. Now, husbands are to honor their wives, and they're to also do this by living with her in an understanding way. But if he doesn't listen, is he very understanding of his wife? Yes or no? And all the women, all of God's women, say. No, okay? Okay? Or, okay? Yeah, but say amen is true, what Peter says, okay? So here we see that listening is required to fulfill the role of a husband. Turn with me to Ephesians 5.33. Turn with me to Ephesians 5.33. We want to look at the woman's role, okay? What is God's role for a spouse? Hey, Rebecca, I mean Abigail, okay? Let's turn to Ephesians 5.33, if we could turn over there. Could I have a happy, motivated reader reading Ephesians 5.33? Eric, would you be able to read Ephesians 5.33? Is that okay?
Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband.
Yeah, so here, notice the wife is called to respect who? The husband, okay? By the way, if a wife is to respect her husband, is it respectful or disrespectful when you don't listen to somebody?
Disrespectful.
So, if a wife is called to respect her husband, and it's disrespectful to not listen, but the corollary, the opposite is true, that if you listen, it is respectful, therefore, there's a role that, even in marriage, the wife is also called to listen to her husband, to hear her husband, okay? So do you see how both a husband and wife, if they don't listen, they're actually not being biblical in their marriage, and will there be difficulties? Oh yes, okay? There will be consequences with that, okay? So also, I think the other thing is, turn with me to James 1:19. The Bible commands us in general for everybody, okay? Even if you're not married, we're called to listen well. How much more so those that are married also as well. Turn with me to James 1:19. Anyone could say this out of memory? I'm just curious. If not, any volunteer read James 1:19. Victor?
For then, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
Okay, so notice in this verse here, right, notice the command is about we must be quick to what? Hear, okay? We must be very quick to hear. But the corollary is also true, that it impacts how we speak, yes? Because if we'll be quick to hear, that shapes how we talk, which is what? Slow to speak, okay? Slow to speak. And these here are commands, they're not suggestions, okay? In the Greek, it's a command, it's thou shalt do this, okay? In the King James, if they were translated by that. It's not saying, hey, maybe you should do this, or this is a good idea, or maybe you should do this, but it's definitive that this is what we're supposed to do, okay? So also this command is for who? It says brethren, and also, did you see the word, everyone? All your versions should say everyone. King James or whatever version, it should say everyone, okay? So this is, we see the importance of listening, okay? Now this is where it's going to be, part two we're going to go over is symptom of listening problems, okay? So, I'm not going to have you guys write it out, so then it becomes like a record and like, like a weird thing like that. I'll have you write it out after. But listen to these questions first, okay? Ask yourself this question about your listening. About your listening to your spouse or the person you're in a relationship with, okay? Ask yourself this question. Do you concentrate or listen carefully when the other person is saying what the other person is saying? Do you, that's a question mark. Sorry, I put a period there, okay? So, do you concentrate? Do you actually listen to them, right? Second question is, do you interrupt, okay? When you are talking to the other person, we want to see if you're listening, but do you interrupt that other person? Third question, do you formulate what you want to say next while the other person is talking? You guys know what I'm talking about? The other person is still talking, but you're already thinking about the best, you're like on King's speech level, right? Of what you're going to say next, okay? Question number four, do you tune out the other person completely, right? Do you tune out the other person completely? Is the other question to ask? Did you just say right? Okay. Yeah. This is just personal with that. Okay. But question number five. Are you easily distracted from not listening to the other person? Right. Are you easily distracted? Okay. Are you like that dog? Those dogs in Up. Right. Like everything. Oh, squirrel. Right. Is that who you are? Okay. Question number six. Do you talk and change subjects so fast before your spouse is able to give input in a conversation? That means you're probably too talkative, which later we'll talk about too. You know what I'm talking about? This is where you talk so much, you tell one story to the next, and switch topics so much that your wife says, "Hey, I was gonna say something like three conversations ago, but you just kept on going." Okay, you know that could be a real symptom. Okay, but more importantly, ask your spouse this. Okay, because we have a problem often of what we think of ourselves better than we really are. You guys realize that? So ask yourself, your spouse, this question. All those questions. How would your husband or wife answer these questions, okay? But this is the part where we will fill out, okay? This is broad enough, don't worry. You guys have paper? You guys have sticks with ink?
I have sticks.
Yeah, you have, or a piece of charcoal also as well, on wood. Yeah, okay, I smell it already, okay? If you have so I'm gonna, the first one, you guys will write down the number for you guys, is write down the number of how, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you grade yourself in your your listening with your spouse? By the way, write your name on it. We'll collect it for next month. But this is, Jen, I'm not going to ask like when all the details. Just number on a scale of 1 to 10, okay? So.
Number 1 was what?
The first question is on a scale of 1. There's only going to be 2 questions only, okay? Oh. 2 questions only. Don't freak out. It's going to be, the first question is, how would you grade yourself in listening to your spouse or your loved one or significant other or the person you're in a relationship with, okay? On a scale of 1 to 10, okay? Hey, you guys know how to grade 1 to 10? You guys are Asian enough where 10 is like perfect, okay? 1 is like you die, right? Okay?
You die.
Okay? 1 to 10, okay? So you guys can give yourself the score. I imagine the highest scoring one. Okay.
It's not in this room.
Okay.
Wait, so every person.
Yeah, you grade your spouse. I mean, you grade yourself. So the first question is greatest.
See this paper?
You write it out first. Don't let them see it yet. Okay.
Don't let them see it.
Not yet.
I said every paper.
Listen.
Yeah,
this is why we need a lesson, okay?
Yes.
There's someone else missing. Hey, ladies, girls? Okay. Anyone else need a paper? I cut exactly 12. No. Hey, girls. Hey, kids. Shh. Okay. Rebecca, Abigail, Hannah, not kids. You three. Okay? So, now the second question is this. Second question is, now you grade your spouse on a scale of 1 to 10. Okay? On a scale of 1 to 10? 10 being perfect?
Is it listen and obey or just listen?
Just, they're listening in general.
Don't tell your wife.
Yeah.
That's for your kids.
We're not talking about obeying yet. That's,
you want to do like negative? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Obeying is another sermon another time, okay? I think we've covered also. Hey, so on a scale of 1 to 10, so the first question again is, how would you grade yourself? The second question is, how would you grade? By the way, write your name on this, okay?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I want to bring it again next month, okay?
Oh, nice.
Okay? Nice. Hey, but I've been gracious. I didn't ask you guys. I didn't ask you guys to like write down where you failed, okay?
Why don't we just get it over with right now?
Okay. So I'll collect it. We'll look at it next month because of teaching time. Okay.
Listen.
So this will be for next month, okay? Okay. So first number is how you grade yourself. Second is how you grade your spouse. Okay? And if you're driving to church on Sunday and you have nothing to talk about, boy, you have a great subject, okay? Okay, thank you so much. By the way, I'll be gracious, okay? I just asked you guys to grade yourself. I didn't ask for details like, hey, huh? So again? Yeah, grade the other person. And then the second one is to grade yourself. Then next month, we'll compare how you guys grade each yourself and compare to your spouse, what they say, okay? So let us now go to
But then Jonathan
Yana. Oh no, Jonathan Yana, yes.
I guess we should have to see what they wrote down.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Jonathan wrote 11.
For which one?
Okay, so let us go on, okay? So these are the symptoms that we've looked at, okay? By the way, I think it's regularly good to always ask about how do we communicate.
What?
This is not just only, hey, ladies, babies. This is not only true. This is not just only true for marriage, but also I think in relationship is very important, even before marriage. I think Nancy and I, we've talked a lot about, how do we communicate, you know? It's very important, okay? So let's go on to point number three. I bring that up just to bring some conviction to say, hey, where are we at, okay? Now, if you're just starting a relationship, it's probably all nines and tens, okay? But we'll talk about that another time. But here in point number three, I want to go to the next point is actually go over reasons we're quick to talk, okay? By the way, even, I'm going to go over problems now, okay? Why is it we have a problem when we're so quick to talk? And also, the next point after that is reasons why we're so slow to listen, okay? I think there's three primary reasons why we're quick to talk, okay? Hey, there's three primary reasons why we're quick to talk, okay? Reason number one, you guys following with me, is what? What is the first reason?
In the, we believe that only we could have anything valuable to say.
Yes. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
This is where maybe you're meeting with someone, you invited someone to your house, and, you know, you clean up everything to make it look clean, to impress them, or at least to expectation. But then as soon as your spouse opened, you are so quick to talk because you don't think the other person has something significant to add to the conversation, okay? But biblically, this is not very loving, okay? This is not very loving. Also, I think there's an issue of pride, okay? There's an issue of pride there. Let's turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. If you guys could turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3. Okay. By the way, all three reasons that I give is actually is from a book. But everything else, the scripture, everything else is my point, sub-points of that, okay? But I thought it was just so well, I just might as well quote exactly as it is, okay? But Philippians 2, 3, this is what God's word say. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Okay? So we're supposed to regard others as more important than ourselves, okay? But yet, when we somehow in marriage, sometimes we forget, oh, and think, oh, we have an exemption. That my wife is exempt from that. I mean, do you really know her or your husband? My husband is like that. Do you really know her? Therefore, it's okay to come with that, okay? So in light of this, I think we have to what? We must have humility and cultivate humility, okay? We must have to cultivate humility so that we are not so quick to talk and talk over our spouse, okay? Reason number two, why we're so quick to talk, because we simply like to hear ourselves talk, okay? Hey, listen, some people just love to talk, yes? Some people, when they talk so much, when they're so tired, they say, oh, I'm so tired talking about myself. Well, let's hear what you have to say. What do you think about me, right? So it's all about ourselves, okay? But again, this is also an issue of pride, okay? But consider scripture. Turn with me to Proverbs 18:2. Proverbs 18:2. Girls. Proverbs 18:2. Proverbs 18:2. Anyone want to read Proverbs 18:2?
I got it. The fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion.
Yeah, so this is pretty convicting, right? We think it's wise. We often think it's so cool, or it shows us we're so wise we're speaking. But this verse says that a fool only delights in what? In revealing his own mind, sharing his own opinion with everything, okay? But scripture makes it very clear that that is actually foolishness in God's eyes. Also, I think we often think we're very wise, but Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered what? Wise, okay? And it goes on and says, when he closes his lip, he's considered what? Prudent, okay? So that's showing, so notice we're interpreting biblically the reasons why we often are so quick to speak, okay? Thirdly, because we are desperately trying to get our own way or be proven right. Sometimes maybe some of us are very quiet by disposition. We don't really share or are talkative, overly talkative, until what? Boom. Your spouse disagrees with you. Suddenly now, it's like you're talking a lot, right? And you're suddenly very talkative, right? And this is because, what, you want to be proven right. Again, I think there's often be a point that it's pride. Now, I'm not against the idea of demonstrating you're right. Let's just say you really are right and your spouse is really wrong. But I think also you must do it in what, a gracious manner, okay? And by the way, I also believe that sometimes when the other person reacts in just normal conversation, sometimes there might not be fully disagreeing, but it's just adding a point to be more nuanced. Does that make sense? To nuance your what you're trying to say. So I think that's very, very important, okay? So in light of this, let's also go to reasons why we are slow to listen, okay? Now, we're going to be quick to listen, but I know I've covered a lot of it. It's the other side of the same coin, right? It's like heads or tail for a coin. Reasons why we're so quick to speak is sometimes synonymous with why we're so slow to listen, okay? But I want to go over three other reasons why sometimes we're slow to listen, where we just say, oh, I no longer have to hear what consider what this person is saying. Number one, we jump to conclusions, right? Like they didn't finish it already, and then we're already jumping to conclusion. Well, this is what the person is going to say. This is what they're assuming. This is why they're saying this. This is their motivation, okay? But is that problematic? Yes, okay? At least for myself in ministry, I feel like oftentimes when I go meet with someone that things are not going well, I always think this is going to be a problem. But I know, I'm so glad compared to when I was younger, rather than guns blazing coming in, you know, taking over, is sometimes I ask a whole bunch of questions. And suddenly you think, oh, I'm going to talk to the guy about this problem. This is his source of a problem for everything else. Why he's not at church, why he's... Then all of a sudden when I'm asking a question, boy, I discover, wow, this guy has a lot more messed up problem. That this problem now sounds so small. This guy have a bigger problem. And by the way, sometimes in life and marriage, it sometimes is which hill to die on, okay? There's a thousand hill to die on, but where do you begin your battle, right? On the biggest hill first. Does that make sense? So in the same way, sometimes you cannot make assumptions, okay? I'm always constantly amazed and always constantly learning. And so in light of this, be very careful jumping to conclusion with your spouse also as well, especially when an area comes with motivations with things, okay? Second reason, we don't like the conclusion when the where the conversation's heading. Maybe it's not so much you jump to conclusion already, but you already could see, okay, this person is going to, he or she is giving a reason why this must be the case, like why they believe in B, or why we must do B, okay? But they're giving reasons, and you don't like it already, so right away you're not listening to anything because you want to stick to your own conclusion already. Does that make sense? Okay? Reason number three, we think we know what the person is going to say already, okay? Sometimes we say, oh, you know what, I heard it. You're going to say, I've been married for you for 8 years. I know Jimmy. What are you going to say? Because after you say this story, you're going to give one Marine Corps story. Then another Marine Corps story, you're going to go tangent to something about ministry. It's like, yeah, how do you know? That's pretty good. Like, you know me, right? Okay? But actually, that's true. So that's where I realized, okay, I'm being redundant. I'm like those old veteran guys with hats now, okay? But listen what Scripture says, okay? Consider Scripture. Proverbs 18:13. Let's turn to Proverbs 18:13. Proverbs 18:13. Sarah, would you be able to read Proverbs 18:13? Okay, thank you. So in this verse here, right? Oh, by the way, I'm not implying anything when I ask someone to read, okay? I just want to be clear with that, okay? So I'm just needing a volunteer so I can catch my breath, okay? Verses 13, but he who gives an answer before he hears, what does it say? Say, hey, that's foolish. But sometimes we think, oh no, we're so wise, we know their arguments, what they're going to give, their conclusion, we even know their motivation, but Scripture says, you know what, that's actually very foolish, right? So notice, interpreting this, it changes everything, okay? By the way, I also believe a lot of times when we listen, we often become so academic, right? We think, oh, the purpose why they're sharing is so that I already know this information. But if you realize, I think a lot of times when we communicate, it's more than just giving information, right? Like when I say, hey, fire! I'm not telling you factually, oh, there's a fire somewhere in proximity. What am I doing with my speech? What action am I trying to accomplish when I say fire? I'm trying to warn everyone to do an action, right? Does that make sense? Okay? Or when I tell my wife I love you, it's not like, oh, factually, yeah, I know this because that's demonstrable with evidence A, B, C, and Exhibit D, right? That's not what it is. It's to do what? An act of showing love, okay? So I think that's something to realize. A lot of times when we listen, it's not so much listening to factual thing, but it's actually to listen. There's deeper speech acts that's going on, okay? Of warning, communicating, affirming, or so many other actions, okay, with that. So in light of this, let's go to point number five, okay? Point number five, how to listen well, okay? How to listen well. So, by the way, even in addressing the problems why we're so quick to speak, and so slow to listen, I think we're already addressing an application, because I think we need to begin with the heart first, right? If we have a wrong heart or motivation, if we never deal with that, because I feel a lot of times when we read self-help books, there's a lot of things of saying, oh, listen, be quick to listen, okay? Now, everybody can say that, right? But I think sometimes we have to address their heart. That's almost like if you see like those old Japanese World War II movies, right? When the Marines invade, they fight in those islands. Here I am telling Marine Corps stories again, right? And then when they go after those Japanese enemies, they often go into what? Caves, right? So what do? If the enemies are still there, are you going to just say, oh, okay, well, that's okay. We solved the problem. We won. That's why they invented what? Flamethrowers, okay? To get to the nooks and crannies. So the same way, we also need to go flamethrower to all the way to our hearts. For why is it we don't listen, okay? That's why we go to the issue of having addressed the issue is pride, right? That's why it's addressing the issue of what? We think so lowly of our spouse or the person that we love. Does that make sense? Okay. So in light of this, let's talk about what does listening well look like? Okay. So listening well involves point number one, concentrating and carefully considering what the other person is saying. Okay. Carefully consider what the other person is saying. Number two is not interrupting. Okay. It's not interrupting, okay? I actually think the one thing, I know we're supposed to be mature, and I see you guys have matured all these years, right? I'm so glad I'm at a small church, and I've known you guys for, I think every one of you guys, I've known you guys for 10 years, except for the little kids, right? Or more, okay? And I'm so glad for that, because I would rather not be a new pastor and just barely know you, and you barely know me, and we have this weird fake honeymoon period where, oh, the pastor's great. No, everyone's a sinner. You guys know my own sin, and I know yours too, okay? But at the same time, I think one of the things is realizing that as I see you guys mature, if you really think about the one sin that we're most immature like as a kid is what? In our marriage, in our relationship with people, is interrupting, right? Is interrupting. Because we don't like slob when we eat our food anymore, right? But we're still interrupting. Does that make sense? Is that case? So, we must also not interrupt. Good communication involves not interrupting, okay? Point number two, not formulating what you're going to say while the other person is talking, right? Okay? By the way, this part, can I be honest? Pastoral confession? This describes part of my problem in my relationship with my wife, right? When my wife tells a joke, it's a good joke. But in my mind, I always want to outdo everyone's joke, okay? I'm already, because as a result, I'm thinking about, okay, oh, that's a pretty good punchline. But I want to deliver a greater climatic punchline. So my mind is going, thinking fast, of all the puns I could pull with all of that, right? I'm suddenly just Googling everything in my mind, like, how could I, what other words, what other idioms could I have to build on top of that? As a result, I don't what?
Laugh.
I don't laugh, and I don't smile, right? And it becomes like, hey, are you listening to me? And then later I just come back, yeah, I was, and blah, blah, blah. But now it's no longer funny. It's no longer edifying, right? Because I've been so quick to try to what? One-up somebody, okay? Not so much of that, because in my mind I'm thinking, oh, I just want to make everything funny. But then it's no longer funny. And then I start noticing it's not a problem, because I start realizing when I meet with a brother in Christ, or a guy that's been in the Marines with me, he always said, hey, I notice you never laugh at my jokes. I said, oh, really? Oh, yeah, that's true. Because I'm always thinking about the next part. And he said, that's not funny. I said, oh, no, that's not funny. He said, okay, oh, I really have a problem now. Okay, does that make sense? So point number three, good communication is not formally what you're going to say while the other person is talking, okay? Is to acknowledge that, okay? That means if the punchline is a little slower, that's okay, okay? Or the next comeback is a little slower, that's okay. That means if there's no comeback, hey, that's okay too, right? Hey, Eric, you won today, right? Okay, that's okay, right? Or not you won, but like, you know, hey, this is great. That's really good. Like, that can't be top. That's really, really good. Wow, that's, praise God for that, right? Nancy, that was really good. I didn't see that coming at all. Does that make sense? Okay? So, but I know that's funny. We're talking about jokes, but often we do that with things even more serious, right? An argument, a disagreement. We're formulating our argument, articulating our next point already without really hearing the other person. Point number four, you ask, I think a good practice to do is also ask questions for clarity, okay? By the way, another thing that I often do also as well to convey that I heard my wife is when I talk, before I speak, sometimes I'll say, Nancy, I believe I heard this is what you said. And then you construct it, not like straw man and make it as weak as possible, right? But to say, okay, honey, this is what you're saying. Am I correct? Right? By the way, that's also good for purpose of clarity, okay? And it's also good because then you're able to show that you really were listening with your details. Does that make sense? I do think it's good to ask questions for clarity, but I also realize sometimes in some cases, when you ask a good, the other person might say, are you kidding me? I spent this whole time explaining, and you're asking for to say it again another way. It's like, what's wrong? You're not listening. No. So I think sometimes it's good to even say, oh, especially if it's tense, to say, okay, this is what I heard you say. Is that true? Before I share what is my view on that, right? Because you want to be charitable. You want to make sure you understand and you heard what they're truly saying. Okay. Also, I want to speak this application for men. This is an application for men. Husbands could have a men frog, like a fog, okay? You guys know what I'm talking about? You guys ever have this? Okay, wives, talk to me. If this has ever happened before with your husband, you're talking, and suddenly the guy is no longer paying attention. He's lost in thought, but he's actually talking to somebody else in his mind almost as well, right? It's almost to that point. It's like, I think he's talking to someone else. Like, he's arguing with somebody, or he's developing a very profound thought, but it has nothing to do with me or this conversation right now. Have you guys ever seen this happen?
Never,
okay. My wife, when she says never, obviously she's communicating to us that's happened, okay? Anyone else have this happen? Or they're, okay, everyone's all gracious. Yeah, and say, you know? Yeah. Okay, but that's also something as men we need to be aware of, right? We need to be aware of, okay? With that, okay? And we'll talk more about communication again next time. But I want to end with the gospel. This is the difference between all those self-help books on communication that's like humanistic, secularized, and stuff like that, and true Christian biblical thing is, well, our biggest help is, I think most of us know what is good communication, but it's just hard to do it. Remember we began with a quote from John Piper, website, that listening is the easiest thing to do, but yet it's also the hardest, right? So how do we do it? How do we listen well when it's so hard to do it? What do we need to motivate us? And I would say the greatest motivation for a Christian to listen well is actually the gospel, okay? First and foremost, listening requires patience, okay? And patience, what makes us patient ultimately, it has to be love, yes? It has to be love that makes us patient, okay? But is there, when you listen, I think when we listen, we need to see it as an act of love, okay? Of your spouse, okay? Listen, my brothers and sisters, the act of loving your spouse is listening, okay? But your greatest motivation, even when your spouse is, there's moments your spouse might not be as loving, why do you still love your spouse and still listen? It's because of Christ, right? It's because of how much Christ loves us. I know Chris always likes to read all those love passages in the Bible. Could you read Romans chapter 5, verse 8? Romans 5, 8, Chris Chan.
Romans 5, 8.
Yes.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
And this is why we continue to love our spouse, even during those difficult times of marriage. By the way, if you think about it, I think we're all really young. You guys realize your darkest, longest days of marriage is probably ahead of you, right? You might think, oh, right now it's dark. Imagine our young ones when they're teenagers. Oh, right? Remember those teenage years? Oh, I'm not, you know, I'm ready to persevere beyond those years. You feeling me? Okay? I feel like those teenage years, I'm going to put us in the art. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, so Romans 5:8, right? Why do our deepest, darkest, longest day of marriage is still ahead of us? But why do we still continue to love our spouse when it's difficult during those days? It's because of Christ's love. And therefore, because you love Christ, you love your spouse. And because you love your spouse, you listen, okay? The other thing I think that helps with the gospel is this. Listening requires humility, yes? Listening requires humility. Not to hear them of what we think they said, but for them truly to lower ourselves, to hear, you know, to not just only speak, but also to hear. And I think the greatest way to cultivate humility is looking towards Christ, right? Remember we looked at Philippians 2:3 earlier? About we must think of ourselves, humble ourselves, and to... Okay. To humble ourselves, hey ladies and babies. But to humble ourselves and also... to humble ourselves means... okay, I lost my train of thought. Okay, to humble ourselves, in order to listen, you need to be a good listener, you need to be humble as well, right? Remember the whole problem of like quick to talk, slow to speak, often it's driving is pride. But the biggest thing for me to kill my pride is actually thinking of Christ. Look with me in Philippians 2. verses 5 to 7. Abigail, I mean Hannah. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 7, okay? This is what it says. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he exists in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of what? Of man, okay? Sometimes people ask me, like, humility is, are you supposed to think of yourself lower than you really are? That's not biblical humility, okay? That's actually false humility, which is a form of pride, okay? But true humility is actually thinking about yourself accurately. The Bible tells us accurately we're all sinners deserving of hell, right? But I think the greatest thing that makes me why I want to be humble is thinking about Christ. That he was God. He was so high. The greatest highest being. Lower himself to become a man. And lower himself even to the point to die. And to die on a cross, right? For our sins, okay? That act of love. Notice the gospel has application for us to do what is right. Including with listening, okay? So that's a pretty good gospel. And this is why we listen well in light of this, okay?